Amen. So we're going to dive straight in because there's some stuff I want to unpack this morning as our Vision Sunday. And if you've got a Bible, we're going to be in Joshua 3. Joshua 3 is where we're going to start this morning and hopefully land as well, but we'll see what happens. If you've not got a Bible, then there's some over there on the connect point. It'll also come up on the screen. But this is this climactic moment for the people of Israel. They have been wandering in the wilderness, and Moses has led them out of slavery in Egypt, and they've been wandering, holding on to God's promises from generations past that they were going to have many descendants and have this land. And now they stand on the brink of this land. They stand on the brink of the Jordan with Joshua leading them, ready to step in to the land that they were given as a promise. So let me just read to you Joshua 3, verses 1 to 8. It says this. Then Joshua rose early in the morning and set out from Shittim. Perhaps one of the most unfortunate names of anywhere in the Bible. You got to say it because we're all thinking it. And they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it of 2,000 cubits in length. But do not come near it in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. The Lord said to Joshua, today I will exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that it is not a set of principles. It's not even really a rule to live by. What it is a relationship. And Lord, I just ask that this morning, as we explore the vision for this church, that we would get deeper into relationship with you and each other and the world around us for your glory. And there is no rugby on this weekend, so I'm not going to pray for the rugby. Amen. 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 I sense this is a comfortable space. I know some of you, but I don't know all of you. But I feel I'm okay to make a confession. Is that okay? Don't look at me like that in judgment. I can feel the judgmental eyes looking at me already. My confession is this, and it's in this bag. That growing up, I had a comfort blanket. Oh, it's nice, isn't it? And the comfort blanket started out as a full-size duvet that my mum then cut up into pieces. And this was how it started. So that would have been my comfort blanket. Isn't that sweet? And I loved these blankets. And you'll know that some of you won't, but I bite my fingernails. And I do that because part of the comfort thing was I would pick. And I actually still do it now. I don't know what it is, but just rubbing my fingers against something. Sometimes I sat with my daughter on the sofa and I'm picking her T-shirts because I'm tired. And it's just a comfort thing. And Bella's like, stop picking my T-shirts, Daddy. And it's just what I do. So these size blankets would then reduce down to something like this with frayed edges that would just be picked and looking a little bit more used, shall we say. But then I would then pick it down even further until it became this. And I would carry this little rag around with me everywhere. In fact, I remember church Sundays where the church were looking for this because we couldn't find it anywhere. So the whole church was set out looking for my little blanket. And I called them, I'm really confessing now, they used to be called my youngie. That's what I called it. It was just a youngie. I don't know why, but it was a youngie. Now, I grew up, obviously. I grew up and I had to put the blankets behind me, but I didn't give up the picking. And so there's a picture coming up. Do people remember Ed the Duck? Do you remember Ed the Duck in the broom cupboard with Andy Peters? Well, I loved Ed the Duck. And so I had an Ed the Duck toy. But of course, Ed the Duck was pickable. And so that's what Ed the Duck was meant to look like that. But my Ed the Duck looked like that. As I picked him to pieces. He was so loved. That was my Ed the Duck. And some of you are thinking, and this is my pastor. But that, ladies and gentlemen, is what I did to Ed the Duck. Bless him. He was loved. See, we love the comfort, don't we? We love to create comfort around our lives. comfort blankets. Even Cara and me in our home, we create comfort without even realizing it. Cara has her sofa and I have mine, and rarely the twain shall meet. If I sit on her sofa, the TV just looks weird, the angle's all wrong, and the remote doesn't work properly because you've got to angle it around because I have got the best view. And so it's just we create these things of comfort. I know where some of you, if I can't find you on a Sunday, I know where to look, because we sit in the same seats, don't we? We have the little, or at least the same side, and we just get comfortable with where we are. It's not like it's a religious thing. It's just, I'm comfortable. I like it from here. It's just where I've got accustomed to sitting, and we have our comforts. I bet some of you always go the same route to work. You always go the same way, and if you don't, then goodness me, you're a free spirit. We call these people spontaneous. They just embrace life, because we've got our route to work. And I know for me, I've got my cereal. I love Weetabix. I've always had Weetabix, and I will never stop having Weetabix. But if I was to have a different cereal, goodness me, it would just knock me off for the day, because we have these comfort blankets. We create this lifestyle of comfort, and if anything comes along to disrupt that comfort, then we are going to declare in Jesus' name that the devil has no claim over our life, and he has come to rob, steal, and destroy, and he will be gone, because anything that comes in to destroy that comfort can't be of God. But I wonder if the call to a Jesus follower is the call to the unknown. A call to the unknown. A call to that which perhaps isn't as comfortable as we'd like to think it is. Now, what I'm not saying is, therefore, the call of a Jesus follower is to embrace pain. I'm not saying that. But I wonder if the call is to embrace the unknown, to live in a place where not every I is dotted and every T is crossed. To live in a place where we might just fail. To live in a place where if we step out, if God doesn't show up, we might look like an idiot. I wonder if that's what we're called to be. Because actually, comfort is an illusion, isn't it? We put these things in our life to try and resist the pain, keep the agony at bay, and so we have all these routines and rhythms. Think about turbulence on a plane. Turbulence on a plane is the great example that control is an illusion. Because people say no plane has ever come down because of turbulence. Now, there's three types of turbulence. There's mild, medium, and severe. Most of the worst turbulence still sits in the mild category. In fact, there's a pilot called Patrick Smith. I don't know him personally, but he's a commercial pilot and the author of Cockpit Confidential. If you'd like to buy that, I'm sure it's available on Amazon. I have no idea whether it's any good, but anyway. He says the level of turbulence required to dislodge an engine or bend a wing spar is something even the most frequent flyer, or pilot for that matter, won't experience in a lifetime of traveling. But what happens? That plane starts shaking and we feel out of control. So what do we all do? Grab the armrest, because now I'm in control. This plane might fall out of the sky and this might be my end, but I'm still in control because I've got the armrest in my grasp, thinking that we're in some kind of control, but it's just an illusion. Church, as we sit here on the 18th of February, at whatever time, at 22 minutes past 11 in the Warwick, in the Stratford Arts House in Stratford-upon-Avon, Warwickshire, can I tell you something? No one has ever been here before. No one has ever been in this moment before. We are sat at the brink of the unknown. We are sat in a place where there is no certainty, where we do not know what is going to happen. And my question to us, church, is this on our Vision Sunday. How are we going to approach that? How are we going to approach one of the certainties of life, that being the unknown, the uncertain? Are we going to try and control it? Are we going to try and bring everything into our life to make it as comfortable as possible? Or are we going to embrace it? See, I love Joshua. I love Joshua as a leader because he embraces the unknown. He is stepping in to the unknown. He tells the people, we've not been this way before. Church, can I tell you, that is a cry over our church. We have not been this way before. And I'm going to unpack more of that. You are all welcome back to our building in Shottery after this service, where I'm going to actually look back over the last 10 years, the data that we have of the last 10 years of this church. And I think you'll be amazed at what God is doing now is something that we've never seen before as a church. We've not been this way before. And And Joshua's cry over the people is, are we going to jump in? Are we going to go for it, people? But the problem is that there's a problem. The people are stood there, and there's this problem in front of them called the River Jordan. See, every time we think about stepping into the unknown, there is always going to be a problem. There's always going to be something we look at and say, I'm not sure I can do that. God, I'm not sure you're going to come through on this. I'm not sure this is going to work. And so we can start to focus on the problem. We can start to say it's not going to happen. I'm sure there were those in the camp. You see, the River Jordan was flooded. It was usually the River Jordan would have been about 50 meters wide. At this time of year, it was up to a mile wide, flooded. I bet there were people that were like, I think let's just wait until this season's over. Just feel the Lord might be prompting us. It's a bit of evidence that the river's too big. Maybe that's the Lord speaking. And then there's this city called Jericho that we've got to take out. That's like one of the most military strong cities in our area. Let's just wait till they all get a mass city flu. And then the river will be smaller. We can just nip across and then we'll go in and we'll just kill them all while they're all struggling with flu. I think the Lord might just be prompting us with that. But Joshua says, no, what we're going to do is we're going to step into the unknown, because Joshua had the one thing he needed to have all the confidence in the world of stepping into the unknown. He had the one thing, the very one thing he needed. And that one thing, ladies and gentlemen, was a box. Joshua had a box. It was a wooden box laced with gold, and it was called the Ark of the Covenant. Now, if you've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, you'll know all about, from that historical movie, you will know all about the Ark of the Covenant. But it was this physical, tangible manifestation of God that was given to the people of Israel, and it was said, have this and you've got me. My presence is in this. As you've got this, my presence is with you. And Joshua knew the confidence he needed to step into the unknown, to step over that problem and say, that's not a problem in the eyes of God. I'm going to go. We are going to go for this. He knew because he had that box. And inside that box were three items. Scripture tells us that in that box were the perfect stone tablets of the Ten Commandments. There was also this rod, and it was Aaron's rod. Aaron, I think it's in Numbers 13, I think, that all that they're not sure which leader to have as the leader of Israel. So all the leaders, this sign of leadership was this staff. They all throw them into a pile and then come back the next day, and Aaron's rod has budded almonds. And they're like, God, I think you're probably speaking to us. Let's anoint Aaron as our leader. So it was the Ten Commandments, it was Aaron's rod, and it was this bowl of manna. The manna was given to the people of Israel as they'd come out of slavery in Egypt and they were wandering in the wilderness. Believe it or not, God releases them from slavery. True story. But then they start to complain that it was better when they were back in slavery, because at least then we had some hot food and some meat. And so God gives them these kind of cornflakes in a bowl every day, fresh. And that's what was in this Ark of the Covenant. These three items that the people carried everywhere. Church, I have a belief of what God is calling over our church. God is calling us not so much about what we're going to do, but about who we're going to be. See, we're going to do lots of stuff. We're going to do loads of stuff. And some of it we're going to think, this is God. Oh, no, perhaps it wasn't. That was the cheese from last night. But hey, we did it, and it's good. And some stuff we're going to go, I'm not sure this is God. I'm not sure God. No, it is God. That's great. And we're going to do that stuff. But actually what is most important and the call over this church is who we're going to be. Who we're going to be as we step out. And I want to share three things that I believe God is speaking over this community as we move into the unknown. And the first is this, that God is calling us to be a people who will discover. We will be a people who will discover. Discover Jesus. As we step out, we are going to discover Jesus more and more and more. And people are going to discover Jesus through us as we reveal him. See, the Israelites had the confidence they could step into that place of the unknown that they had never been before, because they knew the God they served. They knew that God was with them. And that was all they needed to step out. And do you know what? Those Jews, they're our ancestors, aren't they? They're part of our family of the faith, because the God that they worshipped is the God that we worship. But you know what? I think God has revealed himself in a far more profound way than a box. God has revealed himself to us. That box was but a foreshadow of how God is revealing himself to us today. This box is simply a box, and inside it were items, but there is one who fulfills that box and fulfills everything within that box, all of the items within that box, and it is Jesus, the one in whom the fullness of the Godhead dwells, Colossians 2 tells us. He is the one that is the fulfillment, and he is the one that we're called to discover as a people. You see, he is the bread of life. He is that manna. He is the tree of life. He is the one that brings life and buds life into our... He's the good shepherd, isn't he? That staff that brings life into us. And he is the one whose blood was shed for us, because quite frankly, church, we could never fulfill those commandments. Even if you turn around and say, I've never murdered anybody. But Jesus said, if you think like murdering somebody, then you may as well have done it. We have failed monumentally, but his blood has covered everything and we can stand forgiven. He is the fulfillment of that box. Church, this community is called to pursue the presence in the same way we read in Joshua 3. Because you know what? Joshua 3 is not about Joshua. Joshua 3 is not about 2 million Jews. It is not about a river, and it's not about a piece of land. It is about Jesus. That is what the whole of this book is about. And we're going to move into a series later on in our year that is going to see that thread through the whole of it. As we take different topics that are known in Scripture, and we're going to see that Jesus is the thread that fulfills everything. It is about him discovering him. And that is what we need as we step into the unknown. We need to get closer to him. We need to know him more and be known by him, know what he says about us. You see, at the center of the camp is where the Ark of the Covenant resided, and the camp would gather round it. And as they got closer to the Ark, do you notice what happens? If you gather round something and you all draw closer to it, you're naturally drawing closer to each other. It was the Ark at the center. It was the presence of God at the center, that as we as a church all discover Jesus and are walking together towards him, we walk closer to each other. Because church, the second thing that we're called to be, the second thing is that we're going to nurture. We are going to nurture each other. We're going to discover Jesus, and we're going to nurture each other. I find it fascinating that God tells Joshua in verse 4, I think it is, he says, "Yet there shall be a distance between you and it," that's the ark, "of about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before." See, I read that and I'm like, I've always been told in church, I've got to get as close to the presence as I can. Seek the presence, get as close as you can, get close to the presence, get close, close, close. But here God's saying, don't get too close. My God, what's that about? You see, there were 2 million Jews, 2 million. And could you imagine if all of them are pressing in, I'm going to be the one that gets the closest, I'm going to be the one that gets everything, I'm going to be so close to the presence that he can't help but bless me. And the kids get left behind, and those that are not physically able are at the back. And you've got 2 million people all so pressing close to the presence that those even like 1,000 back can't see. Can you see what would happen? The presence of the Ark of the Covenant would start to maybe make a bend and make a turn, and there'd be people way back here, like you're 1,999,000 back, and you're just plodding along going, well, I'm not going to get close to it. And the Ark of the Covenant starts walking over there. The presence of God starts walking in that direction, but you're still walking over here because it's taken so long for it to make for you to make the turn and for it to impact you. Church, we're not just responsible for our own walk. Put the Ark of the Covenant, 2,000 cubits is around a kilometer, just under a kilometer, half a mile. Put that in front of you so that everybody can see it. So you can walk with those that are less able and say, look, there it is. Come on, keep going. Let's go. Let's nurture each other in this. Let's walk together in this. Let's do this together. It's about pursuing the presence and doing it together and spurring one another on. Joshua 5. Joshua goes through the camp and he says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I love that. Church, can we be a praying church that would say, God, you will do wonders among us. You will do wonders among us tomorrow. But the people had to do something. It says, consecrate yourselves today, for the Lord will do wonders among you tomorrow. He tells the people of God to consecrate themselves. This Hebrew word, consecrate, it means to prepare, to dedicate, to be hallowed, to be holy, to be set apart, basically be different. I'm calling you to be different. God was telling his people that if you're going to pass the unpassable, if you're going to step across the uncrossable into the unknown, you need to be different. You need to be seen as different. And church, that has not changed for us. We are called to be different. As I've been praying over our church, the verse that I keep coming back to is Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. See, we're a city within a city, or a town within a town. We are going to have everybody from all walks of life as part of our community, because we've got every single walk of life within our community. And so we're going to be part of that. We're going to have all black and white. We're going to have rich and poor. We're going to have those that get it and those that don't. Those that agree with us, those that don't. All part of our community. But we're going to be on a hill. See, we're called not just to be the city, but we're called to be a visible city that displays something different. That displays something to the city around us, visibly different of a light shining in the darkness. See, church, this is not just about this Sunday gathering. I am never going to devalue these Sunday gatherings. They are vitally important. They are a part of this community. They are part of what we do. We are still following Jesus as a community on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. See, I can preach a blinder of a sermon on Sunday. And then on a Monday, I go out for a meal and the waiter is less than helpful. And I'm like, you treat me like that, you useless waiter. And I make it pretty clear that I'm not happy. Just ridiculous. I'm going to tip you. I'm not going to tip you, but you clearly need to learn what it is to be a decent human being. So I'm going to leave a church flyer on there. I'm not going to tip you, but I'll leave a church flyer. Can I ask your church, don't do that. Please don't do that. Or you preach a blinder on a Sunday, and then I'm like, I'm on Facebook. You have no idea what you're talking about. Let me share my opinion, because my opinion, quite frankly, is next to godliness. Share. How easy it is to do it. And then we're sharing stuff that the church has put on Facebook. Please don't do it. Don't do it. Can you imagine what it would be like if we, the church, decided that everything we shared, everything we said, everything that people were going to see and hear was deliberately going to bring life to people? Wow. Can you imagine the difference? I'm actually going to withhold my view on that. Do you know why? Because all it's going to do is stir that argument. Instead, I'm just going to bring light into everything I do, and I'm going to bring God's love into everything I do. I'm going to bring life, because we are called to be different. Consecrate yourselves. What does that mean for us as the 21st century church? For the Jews, it meant, historically, it meant cutting the foreskin. Thank the Lord we live in the new covenant. I'm having nobody with a sharp knife coming near me. Even from the Welsh rugby fans, who are probably coming at us with knives anyway. But for these guys in Joshua 3, it was about washing their clothes and preparing, being different, ready for what was going to happen. See, what it was outward signs of an inward purity. God has cleansed us, and we need the world to see that. And do you know what, church? We live constantly in a place of inward purity, don't we? Because we've got Jesus who has shed his blood for us. And we can cry out to him and confess. He says, it's done. It is done. It is dealt with. You have inward purity. But I think the world is looking for the outward signs. The world is saying, if you are who you say you are, why aren't we seeing it? And we can get so caught up in arguing about why the world is so dark, instead of saying, why are we not shining bright enough? I'm going to keep preaching until some of you start nodding. And I'm going to keep preaching well into the afternoon. Because it's who God's calling us to be. Consecrate yourselves. That's interesting as I read that. Joshua said to all the people, consecrate yourselves. Do you notice he said it to everybody? He didn't just call a few out and say, now you're really special, you need to be consecrated. He said it to all the people. And it's plural, consecrate yourselves. Church, we're in a community. What we have here is a community project. It means we're not just responsible for our own walk, but it also means that we are not judge, jury, and executioner of everybody else's walk. We are nurturing each other, spurring one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up in meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, Hebrews 10:24. Spurring one another on. That is the call of our church. Now, this flies in the face of culture. A culture that is longing for community but looking for it in increasingly isolating ways. We are actually going to live beyond ourselves. We're going to invest. We are going to prioritize these moments even when I don't feel like it. Because church, can I be honest, as a pastor, sometimes I don't want to go to church and I'm the one that's leading worship and preaching. And I'm like, I'm just tired this morning. I don't think I can be bothered. But something happens. because God has put a blessing when we gather together in unity. And something stirs in my soul. Something happens to me. Because you see, we read verses like Philippians 4:4. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, I say again, rejoice. And quite frankly, I read that and I say, it's not going to happen. I can't do that. Because some days, I really don't feel like rejoicing in the Lord. Some days, the kids have been the kids. And I've kicked the cat. I don't even own a cat. But I just get angry. You know, I get fed up. I've been praying for patience and God puts me in a million traffic jams. Thank you, Jesus. I just get angry because I'm human. I struggle to rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. But you know what? What we miss in this is the language. See, let me just boast on our American friends for a minute. You've got a brilliant word, which I think we as the British should adopt. And it means you, but everybody. Do you know what word I mean? Y'all. Y'all. So it's you and all. I love that word. Y'all. Am I saying it right? Not quite. Y'all. Y'all. If I'm from like the deep south, it's y'all. Y'all. I love that word. And I think the Americans have got something. You see, what scripture actually is saying, y'all rejoice in the Lord, I say again, rejoice. What we don't realize is when it comes to sin, sin was a community project. When once a year the priest would go into the Holy of Holies and make a sacrifice and plead forgiveness for the community of sin. Yet we say it's about me, myself, and I. I approach God on my terms. But actually, there is y'all be consecrated. You all be consecrated. I'm making you feel like you're back at home, aren't I? You all be consecrated. And it's you all rejoice in the Lord, because when you're not feeling like rejoicing, you come and you gather and we're nurturing each other and we say, come on, look, I can see the presence. It's half a mile in front of us. Come on, let's keep going. Let's keep pressing in. Let's keep pursuing it. We can do this together. Because some days when I'm not feeling like I want to rejoice, somebody else in the community says, I am ready to rejoice. And I go, yes. Because you're helping me up. You are helping me to be who I know God is calling me to be. You all consecrate yourselves. It means that me being set apart is helped by you being set apart. That we spur one another on. We stir each other. We nurture each other. And guys, the third thing, so it's discover Jesus, nurture each other, and it's act. It's our DNA. Discover, nurture, act. That's what God is calling us to do. To be embedded within us. It's going to flow through everything we do. And if you join us afterwards, I'm going to unpack this more practically of how this is going to flow through the life of our church. But discovering Jesus, nurturing each other and acting is going to flow through everything we do, from a Sunday through to our midweek stuff, through to what the women do, through to the projects we do with the homeless. It's DNA. Discovering Jesus, nurturing each other and acting. Jumping into the unknown. Now, I just want to invite Jamie to come and speak. Jamie spoke a few months ago, probably more than that ago now, as we launched our youth work and stepped into something of the unknown. An adventure. We don't know what it was going to look like, but we stepped in and we said, God, we're just going to step out. Step into this adventure of the unknown. So I just asked if Jamie would just come and share for a few minutes about what that looks like and how God's been using that. Thanks, Jamie.
Morning, everybody. It's great to be here this morning, guys. It's great to hear something of what's happening and what's going forward. Yes, Joe. Didn't see you there, mate. I'm here this morning to, I suppose, really share a little bit of an update as to what's gone on, because you might have heard some bits and I'm sure there's been some feedback. Just a bit of an update as to what's gone on since I came in September to where we're at now, and just to a little bit of the way forward. And John's asked me to share about some of this stuff about acting out and what it looks like to act out the gospel, particularly in the context that we've got at Limitless Stratford. So we have seen some really great things happen in the past few months. We've also faced some challenges, which I'm sure you know, when you step out in any kind of area of life, normally you face some sort of challenge of some description. So I can have the next slide on, please. That would be really helpful. Just a bit of an update as to what we've been doing on a Wednesday night. You can just about see Jess in mid-flow there. Table tennis shot, about to take Joe down. I can see there. And is Zach still here? Zach is on FIFA, bottom left there. He loves his FIFA, does that boy? So you might remember that when I came back in September, one of the places I was talking about as a real strategic area was schools work. We really believe that, where are the young people in the day? They're in school. So what do we need to do? We need to get into the school and start working practically in the school. And we ironically now, talking about what's going to be happening next Sunday, we really targeted the high school, Stratford-upon-Avon High School, as the place where we wanted to move into and to work into. And from, it was December, kind of start of December last year, I've been working in the school on a week-to-week basis. So every single Wednesday now, I'm in the school. I'm doing kind of mostly one-to-one mentoring with students who need a bit of extra support, which is really, really good. It's been really fruitful. But also, next slide. Oh, great, it's up there. You're ahead of me. Also, we've been doing, on a Wednesday, we've been doing a lunchtime club. So it's a drop-in club. We have kind of like a big screen PlayStation. We have some kind of board games. We have Twister. Really, just a place where to build community with young people on a Wednesday lunchtime. And most weeks, we're seeing anywhere between 25 and 30 young people coming into that group, just beginning to build relationships with these young people. It's normally the same group as well. Starting conversation, starting to talk to them about what's going on, etc., etc., etc. We haven't, as a result of that, we haven't seen any young people directly transfer over from that to our Wednesday night group. And that's okay, because like I said, there's some challenges along the way in that. We really believe, and I firmly believe, that there's a reason we're running that group. And maybe that group is meant to be that group. Maybe we're meant to start doing things within that group in the school on a lunchtime, and that will be that. And the Wednesday night is a different thing. But we also believe that God's going to do something in and through the work we're doing in the school on a Wednesday night in Shottery, whatever that's going to look like. We just believe that God's doing something and stirring something in that. On a Wednesday night, we've seen we've seen 100% growth. We've seen the group grow from 2 to 4, which is good, isn't it? Come on. And you know what? We have sat there every single Wednesday. I'm going to take a moment to just talk about Phil and Jess and Zach in a minute. But me, myself and Phil and Jess and Zach, every single Wednesday we turn up and we're like, okay, whoever turns up through the door, whether it's 2, 4, 1, 20, however many, we're going to give our best to those young people in that room. And there's been some times when there's been frustration. We just think, God, we need to see a breakthrough. We believe that breakthrough is coming, but we also know it's a biblical principle, being faithful in the small, isn't it? And making sure that actually we give our best in every single moment. So we've consistently seen 4 young people, 2 of them, Skylar's friends, have been coming along pretty much every week now, isn't it? They're there, the 2 girls. And we're beginning to have some conversations now, be able to share just little things here and there. We're not coming in hard. We're not throwing Bibles at them just yet. But we're beginning to just have conversations and drop a question in here and there. And this week was Valentine's Day. This Wednesday was Valentine's Day. We had a really good opportunity to talk about love and what we believe love is, beyond just kind of the romantic love, what love is and looks like. So we're starting those conversations, which is great. And in amongst all of the stuff we're doing, we're just really believing that God is going to work, not just in the lives of the young people we're reaching, but beyond, in the school, in the stuff that we're doing. And we're just believing that God has a real plan for that. So what does it look like? What does it look like for us to act out the gospel? For me, when I'm in the school on a Wednesday, and I'm in there on my own in terms of from the team, on a Wednesday, it's just trying to show these young people love. I'm working with some young people who are struggling. Their dad is absent. One young person, his dad has gone to prison, and the decisions that he is making is just not good whatsoever. And how do I do that? I just show love. I show support. I try and point them in the right direction. You have to remember that I'm going into a school and there's only so much I can talk about God and Jesus in those moments, but just showing love through action, just through the way that I interact with these young people. On a Wednesday night, we try and talk a little bit, but again, it's just the way that we the biggest thing I think we've created on a Wednesday is a fun family environment. Is that fair to say? A fun environment where they enjoy coming along, we enjoy our table tennis battles. Joe thinks he's the best, but he's not. We're going to take him down a peg or two on that. we enjoy our time together. We enjoy spending time as a family. But we also believe that through that, we're just going to be able to continue to have these conversations. And just how that's going to look, we don't know. We know that God started something in that. I do want to take a moment. Now Zach's back in the room. Can we just honour Zach and Phil and Jess? They come every single Wednesday, and like I said, normally for four, sometimes less, four young people. They set up, they pack down, they do the work, and just thank you so much for the work you're doing. I really know that God's just smiles over the stuff that we're doing and just the sacrifice that you're giving into that. So please continue to pray for what we're doing, for the work that we're doing. Thank you so much for, I'm chatting to John quite often, and he's championing the work and just so behind what we're doing. Please continue to pray for the school particularly. And like I said, when I was kind of thinking about this, thinking, wow, we're now working in the school every single Wednesday. We'll say we, I'm in there representing this church, representing Limelis Stratford. And now also, we are in there on a Sunday morning and just beginning to see, I believe, a bit of a tapestry coming together. It's the beginning of something, but just thinking about the influence that we can have as a church, not just kind of in the next few months, but over the next few years going forward, what that's going to look like. So thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share this morning, John. Thank you so much for what you're doing. Please continue to pray for the work, for our Wednesday night group particularly, for the stuff we're doing in the school, just to see what God's going to do in amongst us. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Jamie's great. Just going on and getting on with it and doing it. It's fantastic. And I preached a while ago on when Jesus gives thanks at the feeding of the 5,000. And what does he do? He gives thanks for the not enough. Church, we're a church that continually giving thanks when we don't have enough. We stepped out when we didn't have enough. We're continuing to do when we don't have enough. And that's the same with the youth. And I think God just blesses that and sees that with a heart that is thankful for what he's given us. Let me just land this plane with this. Joshua 3:14 says, so when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the ark were dipped in the brink of the water, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout this time of harvest. The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those flowing down towards the Sea of Arabath and the Salt Sea were completely cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until the nation finished passing over the Jordan. Some 2 million people. Do you notice what happened? Do you notice what happened? As soon as those bearing the ark came to the Jordan and the feet of the priests bearing the ark dipped in the brink of the water, the waters coming down from above stood and arose in a heap very far away at Adam. Do you notice what happened when the people stood in to the Jordan? Absolutely nothing. That's what happened. Absolutely nothing. Because what's happening is they're stepping in, and it says, actually, if you look on a map, an ancient map of Israel, it says 17 miles upstream, the water starts to stop. So they step in. Absolutely nothing happens. Oh God, we believe in you for a miracle. We're going to step out. Let's step in. And they know the story of Moses, don't they? The parting of the Red Sea. It's going to be phenomenal. God's just going to go, whoa, and we're going to go, wee, and it's going to be great. But they step in and nothing. To their visible eyes, absolutely nothing happens. But 17 miles upstream, God is working a miracle. He is stacking the waters up at Adam. And he is saying, just wait on me. Just wait on me. Something's happening. And they stood there. How long did they stand there for? I don't know. I don't know how fast the water was traveling for 17 miles away to impact those that have stood there. But they stood there up to their waists maybe, and they're going, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. This problem's too big for us. This problem, we can't get over this problem. And then however many minutes later or hours later, however long it took, oh, hang on. Is the water going down? No, it's not. No, hang on. The water might... It was wet up here and now... Now it's down here. The water's doing something. Something is changing. Something is shifting because the water 17 miles upstream had taken time to impact where they are. Church, we're going to spend our days discovering Jesus, nurturing each other, and acting out the gospel. That is what we are going to do. We are going to learn more about who Jesus is from each other, through reading his word, through gathering together, experiencing his endless love and his unchanging nature. We are going to nurture each other, being a community that exists to express the love of God to each other and those who are yet to know it. And we are going to act. Some days, we are going to step out and we are going to see God do wonders amongst us tomorrow. Because we prepare ourselves today and God says, now's my timing. But other things, we are going to step out and we're going to wonder, God, what are you doing? What have you not done for us? And he's saying, just wait on me. The miracle is coming. Just wait on me. Your job is to discover me, nurture each other, and act. Now step out. And 17 miles upstream, God is doing something. Can I tell you, there's some stuff that we're going to step into as a church that is not our generation to reap. We are going to sow some stuff with the kids that are coming into our church, who are then going to be the young people that are then going to be the adults in this town. And they're going to be able to walk through on dry ground because we stepped into the flooded Jordan and said, now something's going to change. And God says, yes, it is, but you wait for 20 years' time. Church, we're going to act. We're going to step into the unknown, and we are going to see God do some amazing things. Let's just close our eyes.